Hey, we're back here. It's Downtown Monday afternoon. Rich Kimball with you. And up next, time to talk Boston sports and more with Chad Finn of the Boston Globe and Boston.com. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich. How are you? What did my friend Jay Jaffe have to say?
Oh, goodness. He's talking about your old pal Curt Schilling and his chances of getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I don't have a ballot yet. I'll have one in 3 years, but that probably would have been my most difficult call this year. And I think I probably would have gone no, just because he asked us not to. And that's the one occasion where I'll listen to him, I guess.
You know, there's a part of me that wants him to just go in, let him do his thing, and then he can go away forever. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. Jay didn't seem to think that he would be able to get over the hump this year.
Yeah, it seems like he's been taking a little bit of a hit just from the tracking that Ryan Thibodeau does on people's voters' ballots. Last time I saw, he was down a little bit, and Omar Vizquel, who's not a Hall of Famer anyway and a horrible person on top of that, were also dropping quite a bit. So, I think, Kurt's going to get to be the martyr at the end of this one and say, well, the voters are against, the writers are against me, and, cross his fingers, I guess, and hope that one of the committees puts him in down the road. But kind of feel like he sort of wants it this way anyway, that to be able to complain about the voters.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. Well, while we're on the topic of baseball, I kept flashing back recently to something you said quite a while back and talking about Rob Manfred as a guy who's, he's a numbers guy. He just doesn't seem to have a love for the game. And when people point fingers of blame to a work stoppage, I look first at Rob Manfred and then to the owners.
What's worse, that he claims to have grown up a Yankees fan or that he really doesn't like baseball at all?
Six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah, I don't think he even really cares about the game. I mean, he's given us no indication about any nostalgia or sentiment or warm feelings or wishes to see that he leaves the game in a better place than it was when he became commissioner. It's just all about the bottom line.
Right.
And he's done a lot of different things that make me think that he doesn't care about the game. But the one that really bugs me, I guess, above all else, is what he did in the minor leagues, where they contracted a ton of teams last year, which you can make a big business argument, I suppose, that was necessary. But they changed like the names of the leagues. The International League, which has a ton of history. You know, they're completely unrecognizable by first reference now, and just none of this stuff matters to him. It's just about squeezing out the last possible dollar. And I hope fans, even fans who are frustrated with the money that players make, I hope they recognize that this is an owner's thing that's doing this. That this is the owners trying to get back things that they've given away and making untenable requests, and that if you make the billionaires versus millionaires argument, well, that's not equal. The millionaires aren't equal to the billionaires, and the billionaires are the ones driving this. So hopefully they get the backlash that they deserve and back down a little bit from, what they're doing to the players.
Well, but a lot of fans tend to blame those greedy millionaire players. And I think it goes back to the notion that so many fans say, boy, if I had a chance to play, I mean, I'd play for free. I wouldn't care about the money.
Yeah, that's not true, though. I mean, we all have said that probably at one point or another, but you don't realize the work that goes into it and the grind of traveling and how beat up your body feels in August. I mean, of course, it's a game we all love, and we could have played longer than we did, probably most of us, but it's also a job and has a lot of demands on top of it. And even if you take issue with how much money the players make, and some of those numbers make your eyes bulge out, they're the ones we're paying to see, and they're the ones that make the game great. And I've never understood the concept of rooting for the owners to make more money,
no.
But it feels like a lot of fans, rather than acknowledging and being okay with the amount of money that you know, Mike Trout or somebody like that makes. Instead, they kind of vilify the players, and I think that's probably in part because MLB's messaging is a little bit better than the Players Association is, and they've got, I hate to say it, but they've got some people in the media who, in high-profile places, who just sort of parrot what the league tells them. So if you just sit back and look at it a little bit and think about it, it really is a player's side that you should be on.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown Football. This Tom Brady fellow, he's not bad.
He's not bad. No, he may even win an MVP award this year. I picked the Patriots Bucks Super Bowl, and I picked the Bucks to win. And I'm kind of regretting that now because I can't really brag about making the pick when I have the Patriots losing. I got to learn to play those things a little bit better. But it feels like they're headed down that path, and be something to see. To see Brady and Belichick go head to head, but I think for Patriots fans. Especially yesterday, more than any other time, watching Brady crush the Bills and go 33-3 in his career against them. It's easier to appreciate what he's doing right now than it was last year, because you look at the Patriots and obviously they're in a great place. They've got their young quarterback, and you can kind of justify now the decision to let him go, because it's working out in a really positive way in the present and for the future of the Patriots. And meanwhile, Tom's in a great place, has a lot of say over things in Tampa Bay for sure. He's got the gang of players together that he wants down there. And I think 5 years from now, we're going to look at this and say, you know what? It hurt when Tom left, but it was best for both involved. And this season, it really seems possible that these two guys who both made each other better, the best coach ever, best quarterback ever, might be on a collision course, which would be something to see.
I saw people tweeting about this yesterday. Is there some truth to the fact that Bill Belichick has destroyed the Buffalo Bills?
You know, they were pretty resilient yesterday. I felt like they were destroyed when they were down, 27-3 or 27-10, but the Bills showed a little bit of heart, kind of did what they should have done against the Patriots, which is say, all right, Josh Allen, you're really valuable to us. We're going to use you as a runner right now. Go out and get yourself killed to help us win this game. Kind of felt like they forgot about running him a little bit against the Patriots, and he's such a big guy and so fast for that size that the feels like it was underutilized a little bit in that game. It was like some switch flipped in either Brian Daboll's head or Sean McDermott, the head coach, that said, you know what, let's see if we can do some damage on the ground here. So pretty valiant effort by him, even in a loss. I don't think the Bills are broken. I think they were headed that way, but they probably got a little bit of a spark back from at least coming back and showing some fight in that game, even though they ultimately lost.
How do you think the Patriots match up with the Colts Saturday?
You know, I think they're going to win. I saw today they were, I think, a point and a half underdog, but I think they're going to win because I just don't see Carson Wentz beating the Patriots. Jonathan Taylor's obviously having an incredible year, terrific running back, and one of the most underrated college players of all time. He had to get over 6,000 yards in his college career and somehow ended up as didn't even go in the first round. It was a second-round pick, but he's a tremendous back. They have a great line. They've got a lot of things going for them, similar to what the Patriots do, but I feel like Wentz will make a mistake or two mistakes or three mistakes, and the Patriots will capitalize on them. I think the Colts lead the league in turnovers, and the Patriots are second or third. So the Colts have had a knack for taking the ball away, just like the Patriots have. But if you're asking me who's going to give the ball up more and in this matchup, I would say it's probably Indianapolis, and the Patriots will capitalize on that. Now, also, the Colts pass defense, giving up the second most touchdown passes in the league. I saw one of their players today was saying they're going to make Mac Jones beat them. I think Mac Jones can beat them. And this is probably a case of be careful what you wish for. He's certainly going to throw more than three passes Saturday night. We can be sure of that.
Really enjoyed your piece on the Manning cast. No, I never had the Peyton Manning hate. I always found him to be really entertaining. I enjoyed him as a player and enjoyed all of the side projects that he had. But Boy, the two of them together, along with their guests, that's fantastic. Not getting big ratings, but it's certainly having an impact.
Yeah, it's all a matter of context, Rich. I mean, it gets about 13% of what the traditional broadcast gets, and it gets way a much higher percentage of the hype going into Monday night. You'd think it was the most watched of the two broadcasts, but I think what it comes down to is when your team is involved, you want the conventional broadcast. It tells you who made the tackle, you know, what who threw the key block in that play, that sort of thing, rather than, you know, the Mannings do that, but they kind of meander. They have their guests on. They go off topic for a while, and you end up kind of, if you stay with them for too long, you end up kind of watching the game in the background and having to sort of do the play-by-play in your own mind, you know. But they're really funny, and it is the most successful second broadcast, alternative broadcast that ESPN has ever had with anything. So it's a massive success. It just doesn't get the viewership to match the hype.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown. Chad, appreciate it. As always, hope we got you good and warmed up for the Portland guys.
Yeah, it's Javier and Eli now. Sedenk is over playing the Def Leppard records on WBLS.
I saw that. No, good for him.
I told him he has the same playlist that I grew up listening to in high school. They haven't maybe added a little bit of Pearl Jam, but probably not much else otherwise.
Yeah, a little less show prep, I think, required for what he's doing at the blimp.
Yeah, probably so, yeah. You got to be prepared with Javier. You know, he knows, like, the backup offensive lineman for the Jaguars and things like that. So you got to be ready for them.
Yeah, I hope we helped in that process for you, Chad. Enjoy it, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Always good talking to you, Rich.